Ladies and gentlemen, a very, very, very warm welcome to you all this evening. Thank you so much for coming out to be with us this evening. I think possibly at quite short notice, this is an evening we're going to be spending with Dad Janki, and I think, as I look around the room, I've seen many of your faces before, so most of you, I think, have already met Dadi. Is there anyone here who has never met Dadi Janki? A few. So, very, very warm welcome to you, and I hope you have a good time tonight. We're going to be trying to make this evening a little less blah-blah and a little bit more experience. And there are a few housekeeping things that I'd like to cover off with you. I'm actually tonight standing in front of you feeling extremely self-righteous because I have actually come onto the stage without my mobile phone. I have found possibly the most embarrassing situation to be when the mobile phone goes off as I'm doing something on stage. But I can assure you that when we are practicing this practice of Raj Yoga in dead silence, I can assure you that when your cell phone goes off, you will be mortified, and for sure your yoga will be finished. So, may I advise you, may I encourage you to please, if you can, turn your phone right off. And if you're a brain surgeon or something, you're allowed to keep it on vibrate. But that's about it. The other thing that I'd like to ask is, I know that in this modern day, it's possible to take photographs at any time, anywhere, with our mobile phones and whatnot, our smartphones. But we do have official photographers here. If I could ask you, no photographs tonight if you're not an official photographer. And if you are, you know who you are. In the very unlikely event of a fire, you can see around the room there are exits, and the ushers are trained to encourage you to go in the right direction. So please follow the ushers. So now let's get started. We'd like to begin this evening with a short address from the Honourable Mr. Sukhdev Singh Sidhu, who is the Minister of Coordination here in London at the Indian High Commission. So please, round of applause as the Honourable Sidhu comes up. And we should have a microphone for you, according to, you know, this is a moment. Nice to see you. Hi. We don't have a microphone for you, but we will. We will. Stand here where they can see you, the lights. And microphone, please. Otherwise, oh, you got it. Okay. How'd you do that? All right.
Most Reverend Dadi Janki, brothers, sisters, distinguished guests, it is a great privilege for me to come to this august gathering. Actually, I have come in a listening mode, especially when some religious entities here, all of us come with the open mind to listen and learn. But I have been told that I must convey about celebration of our yoga on 21st June as International Yoga Day. So that is also a matter of great pride for all of us, especially the Indians, who have been practicing yoga since centuries. And now the time has come, it has been acknowledged as a International Yoga Day. Though across the boundaries, all over the world, people have been performing yoga and enjoying the benefits of yoga. But it is the first time that acknowledged as all over the world, okay, this is something unique, a great gift from Indian civilization to the whole of the world. So we are really proud of this acknowledgement, And that's why on 21st June you will see all over UK, rather all over world, in different areas, with the help of our most organizations, we will perform yoga, we will discuss yoga, we will discuss the benefits of yoga, and how a person can achieve most in his life if he is practicing yoga. Because yoga is something which unites the body action with your soul. And unless you have soul in something, whatever you are performing, you can't put your 100% in that thing. And unless you put 100%, you won't achieve. So it is for the young students, for the old people, for the mid-level people, that if they are performing yoga, wherever they are, whatever they are doing, they will get the best results. That's why we quite often in the Indian families tell our children that you must do yoga in the morning, then your exam will be good. You will get better marks. And that has been over the period of proved also, that if you go to India, these days the results are coming of 10th and 12th classes. You will find marks 99.5%. Even in 2 days, I think, day before yesterday in newspaper, you might have read, many of the students got above 99%. So that is something which makes the students focus on their study. But apart from that, it is also for us a matter of pride that Indian civilizations, which has been somehow, whether due to many other reasons, why not well connected with the rest of the world. The yoga gives us a medium through which I think we will approach each and every civilization across the world to tell something about India. But now with the Brahma Kumari organization, we have been performing one function, organizing one function in Nehru Center on that day. Many of the people will be coming there, and I am sure that whosoever comes there, they will be benefited by listening there, by participating there. Not taking much time, actually, I have initially said that I have come here in a listening mode, especially to Dadiji, because upstairs I asked one question, so Dadi told me whether you want answer here or in the meeting below, stairs. So I am waiting for that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thanks. And so now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to ask Sister Jenty, who is the Brahma Kumari's director for Europe, and London is included in Europe. I'd like to ask Sister Jenty to come up on the stage, and we are going to together investigate just exactly what is this power of yoga. Welcome to the stage, Sister Jenty. So here we are, Sister Jenty, and yoga power in a world of chaos. I suppose how I would like to start this conversation is really on behalf of some of you, possibly many of you, who, although we've heard the word yoga and we've heard people talk about yoga and people do yoga and it sounds really good, and let's start with, what exactly do we mean, do you mean, do we mean here in these four walls by yoga and yoga power?
Om Shanti, and good evening, and thank you for the introduction and your question, Anthony. The word yoga actually has a very simple translation. It means union. And in our case, we're talking about a very specific type of union. Mr. Sidhu was sharing with us different ideas about yoga and mind and body and health and well-being, and all of those are of course part of this. And here we use a specific term called Raj Yoga. And Raj, anyone remembers the days of the British Raj? So the word Raj comes in there. Sovereignty. Sovereign, the master, the king. And so the yoga, which is the highest of all yogas, which is actually the union of the self with the divine, with the supreme. And so we practice a form of meditation, and using the technique of meditation, and I'm sure we'll explore that later, but we come to that stage where the soul is able to experience this union with the supreme, in which we're able to receive firstly the experience of just simply peace, but then beyond that, light and might. And so when I use the word might, the inner spiritual power that comes from the divine. And so that power, the accumulation of the experience of God's light and might, is what we call yoga power.
So does that mean
that in order to be interested in yoga, I actually have to not be very powerful? In other words, is yoga only for people who are a bit freaked out? Most people are. Has anyone here never been irritated, frustrated, depressed? Yeah? So we're part of the target audience.
When I came to yoga, I don't think I was freaked out.
Right.
And no, I certainly wasn't depressed or unhappy or stressed. It was a very beautiful experience of the joy of the 60s. So I'm a child of the 60s.
Right. Yeah, you're letting your secrets out.
No problem. But it just meant that it was a very joyful, invigorating time to be alive, because you could really feel that there was an energy about that could bring a transformation in the world and make the world a very beautiful place.
Right.
So, having said all of that, when I take power from the divine, what it does is to enhance my own inner abilities. What I'd like to do is to be able to have such clarity in my mind that I'm able to see exactly what's going on. Instead of having a confused and a bit fuzzy, hazy idea of what's going on, but to have that perception that's very clear and refined. And so I think all of us would like a little bit more of that, no matter how good we may be.
But yeah, that's a very good
promise, actually, that if you do Raj Yoga, your mind will clear and you will become more able to do or think the thoughts you want to think, do what you want to do. So how do you start? We don't necessarily want a sort of technical lesson here, but I mean, it's all very well to say, yeah, do yoga, but if you are, and I mean, you said that you were feeling pretty good back then in the 60s, but some people are not feeling so good, and you know, it says here in a world of chaos, and of course we've all noticed on the news that things aren't so good, there's a lot to be angry about, there's a lot to be worried about, so it's not unusual to find people who are freaked out.
Right.
And you're not feeling good, you're not feeling stable, you're tense, mind's all over the place, and somebody says, you are a peaceful soul. And you know, I can sort of imagine them saying, no, I'm not. And then what happens is, for me anyway, I'm letting secrets out here, is that I pretend I'm peaceful, so I go, and I look around and I see what everyone else is doing and I go,
Anthony, you missed your vocation.
I know. Thank you. But I mean, this is, because it's very easy to pretend to do yoga. And it's not so easy, in my experience anyway, to actually do it. And so you've had people like me sitting in front of you a long time. So just for all of our benefit, how can we really get started to just make a connection with the feeling of yoga, just so we've got somewhere to start?
Okay. There are three steps of yoga, and easy, simple words, inwards, upwards, and then outwards. nothing mystical, very simple. So inwards, I go on that inner journey in which I'm leaving the outside world stay outside. It's not going to go away. It'll still be there when I come back to it. But just for a few moments, what I'm doing is taking my attention inside, and I'm creating very consciously thoughts related to my own inner world. And as I go inwards, I'm able to touch that part of the inner self which is very, very silent and still. And if it doesn't happen instantly, that's okay. It's a journey. And so let me begin that journey and become aware of an energy that's located just here in the center of the forehead. And you'll be able to feel it. And in just a few minutes, we'll have a little demonstration.
Yeah.
And so just let yourself go deep, deep, deep inside. And you'll find that the spaces between the thoughts become longer. The spaces of stillness become deeper. And in that, there is peace.
Because I've listened to a lot of lectures about Raj Yoga, and I find myself going, yeah. And then about 5 minutes later, I can't really remember any of it. and I can't really do it. So just, you know, when we're having those thoughts and going inwards, like, just give, you know, if I say, give me an example of a thought, you're going to say, yes, the thought is, I am a peaceful soul. But one of the things that I've done, and I think many of you probably would have done, and you know who you are, what you do is you sit here like that, and you go, I am a peaceful soul. I am a peaceful soul. I am a peaceful soul. And I'm not sure, you know, I think I'm good at repeating, is it like self-hypnotism? Because I don't think so.
No.
So really, just, I really want to get to this point, because if we don't take the first step properly, yeah, we can spend years not being there. So just really hone in on that first step so that all of us tonight can at least say we've taken the first step.
Excellent. Let me have a thought that I want to go on an inner journey. I want to see what's happening inside my own inner world. And go inside, and you'll find that there's lots and lots of thoughts. And you'll say, okay, what if I let the thoughts become quiet and I don't have so many thoughts? Can I do that? Just try it as an experiment. Don't try it with any expectation, but just simply as an experiment. Can I slow down the speed of my thoughts? And when you do this, you'll begin to feel that there is a stillness between the thoughts.
Okay, and then you start concentrating on that stillness between and kind of feeling the quality of that stillness. Is
you
that
begin
right?
to feel the quality of stillness, and you begin to feel an energy here.
Yeah. Now, what if you don't feel an energy here?
It's okay.
You just...
Because you just continue
keep to experimenting. Now, experimenters observe. So, do you want me to be an observer of my thoughts?
It's not enough just to observe thoughts.
Okay.
I'd like you to be able to say, okay, can I stop this thought for just a moment? And I'll pick up on it and I'll come back to it.
Okay.
But I want to stop it.
Okay.
I'll come back to it later and explore it.
Yeah.
But not for now.
Okay.
And so just let yourself have that space. And it's in that space that you can feel the peace.
And then once you've done that, then you can move forward and start deciding what thoughts you're going to have.
Once you've done that and you begin to feel that there is something special in the stillness that I'm experiencing now, you want to explore it further and see, well, where is it coming from? And you'll probably find that it's coming from deep down within you. And then you realize that, yes, there is peace within my own inner world. And then you realize that I can actually choose which thoughts to have.
Okay.
And then you start on the second step of knowing that my original state of being is peace.
Mm.
That's how I am naturally.
Mm.
And so let me try that as an experiment.
Okay. Now, when you're doing that bit, do you feel better?
Mm.
Okay. Now, if you feel better, why do you need God?
It's a separate subject.
Okay.
And
because you said inward, upward, outward. So presumably outward is when you use it.
Mm-hmm.
Upward is to...
the divine.
Right. And inward, so I'm peaceful. Great.
So stay with this for as long as you wish.
Okay.
And you'll explore more and more the treasures that are there within the inner being, within your own inner world. And if it takes weeks and months and years, that's also fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine.
Does it normally take a long time?
No.
No.
For me, it took one lesson.
Okay.
So 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I came back the next day and another 45 minutes lesson, and it was very fast. But I'm aware that there are people who may not necessarily come with a belief in God.
Yeah.
There may be just a query, a question. Is there such a being? And so I say yes, because I know of one particular individual
yeah.
who actually now promotes these ideas.
Yeah.
But it took him a few years, but that's fine.
Yeah.
But for me, there was a desire to discover whether there is a being who is the supreme.
Okay.
And when I heard this information about the self, the inner being, the soul, and the next step I heard was that, well, there's nothing mysterious about God. God is simply the supreme soul. Just as a soul is a being of light, God the supreme is also a being of light, without physical form or even angelic form.
Now, you're saying that with a great deal of certitude. Now, did someone tell you that and then you kind of got it? Or did you get it and then tell other people?
I first had the experience of the inner being, the self, the soul, and how really that being that I am, the authentic self, you could use that term. So that inner being, the authentic, the original self, is a being of light, and I could feel it, I could experience it. And that experience wasn't just in the center, but when I was walking home, I could feel it. And it must have been about 10, 11 in the morning that I'd had this lesson. And that feeling stayed with me the whole day. I came back the next day, and when they said that there's a huge variety of souls, and every soul is unique and individual, seems right.
Yeah.
This is my experience.
Yeah, sure.
But out of all souls, there is one who is the supreme. And why we call him the supreme is because there's the maximum amount of love, of truth, of peace, of joy in that being. So it didn't seem a fanciful idea. It seemed a very reasonable idea. And so they said, experiment with that.
And you did?
I did.
And the experiment was a success?
It was beyond my expectations.
Sure.
It was a very, very powerful experience of light and love and joy.
So, I mean, tonight we've got a lot to do, but I'm thinking that it would be good tonight if we could do step one, and if we've got the courage, we've got Daddy Yankee here, do step two. But I'm on my cheat sheet here. I've got another question to ask you, because you've talked about inward, upward, and I want to be careful with the time. But I just want to quickly go into this outward thing, because underneath yoga power it says in a world of chaos. And so my question is really relates to how do we use yoga power in this old world of ours? Because presumably that's a bit of the outward thing. So.
Raj Yoga has another name that it's known by, And that's this term, karma yoga, the yoga of action, which means that because it's a connection of the mind or even of the heart with the divine, you're able to keep this connection no matter what else you're doing. So, for example, as we communicate together, it's either possible for me to be in a great state of great ego, I want to prove that I'm right.
Sure.
Or it could be the awareness of being an instrument, the awareness of being connected with the divine, so that those vibrations reach out and support the conversation.
Yeah.
And so even as we're engaged in action, we're able to bring that experience of the divine back into our lives, so that then the quality of the way in which we think and speak and behave is changed by this. And it's touched by that light and truth. And you can see that this is what is very much needed in the world today.
And presumably, I mean, when we mean power, it means that whatever I do has a greater effect. I mean, the more powerful I am, the more effect it will have on those outside of me. So if I have yoga power, this power you're talking about, then, you know, if I say, be good, without yoga power, you're going to ignore me. But if I have yoga power and I say, be good, it'll change your life. I mean, is that...
That's one way, but that's just simply seeing the influence on others.
Okay.
And think about yoga power as, say, willpower.
So
I have something that I'm addicted to. It could be as dangerous as coffee and ice cream. Or it could be...
You know my weaknesses. Yeah.
I do. But also it could be worse than that. We know that when there's an addiction, we want to get rid of it. But we don't have the power. It's a term that we would always use. And then some people would even say, I don't have the willpower to be able to change this. I know that it's no good, but I can't do anything about it. I feel helpless. And so this inner power that is missing so often in our lives is something that comes back to us through this connection. And that doesn't happen just through this inner journey. That's really the first part. If I'm looking for that energy, that power with which I can bring transformation within myself, and addictions to substances is one thing, but we're all addicted to maybe our attachments, our desires, our egos, all of those things. And so the power to be able to change that happens through that connection.
Okay, so the message is, the power of yoga is really first and foremost, change the self.
That's right.
And is it impossible for me to change, can I do it without God?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Okay, so that's really the reason for God. Yeah, I mean, it's a good reason.
God is.
God is.
So,
and by having our connection with God, we get this power that we wouldn't otherwise have, and we change. Now, do we change into something that we aren't otherwise, or...?
We get glimpses of beauty within the soul, and then at times that beauty seems to have got covered up by a whole heap of dust. And then we wonder, you know, why am I feeling the way I am? One day I felt so joyful, so happy, I was able to share light. And another day, well, I need somebody to bring me light. I'm in a state of darkness. And so we've had these experiences of both the high and the low. And the relationship with the divine allows us to deal with this fluctuation, and to be able to come to a greater and greater state of stability, so that then the beauty of the inner being becomes totally natural and is being expressed more and more, and maybe all the time.
Yeah, and that's the end game, to be like that all the time.
Correct.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be good?
Well, maybe it's not the end, maybe it's the beginning of something very beautiful.
This is great. This conversation is too good. The time is going ahead. We're late. I'm in trouble. Although I'm not quite sure who is. You know, tonight we promise that you, of course, will be meeting Dadi Janki again. And So now I would like to invite up onto the stage Dadi Janki, who is head of the whole organization, the worldwide organization of the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University. While Dadi is just making her way up onto the stage, we're going to have a little bit of silence, but for those of you who have not met Dadi, if you won't believe this, but Dadi is walking up onto the stage right now in her 100th year. She's 99 years old. She is really a phenomenon. She is still traveling around the world and speaking, and maybe speaking a little bit less than she used to, but no less is the power of her presence. And tonight, in our continued conversation, we hope that we can educe for you some of the secrets of how to really build the power of yoga in your life, because this is someone who really is living proof that it can be done. So shall we just go into a little bit of silence, because I know we're going to be talking a bit more about the power of silence and how we can use silence as Dadi comes onto the stage. Dadi.